principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages, therefore, were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that the doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter, because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormen checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Tatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vaku Nityananda Sri Adveta Kadata Sri Vasani Gauta Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Bhaktyamang abhijanati javanyas chasmi tatvataha tatomang tatvato gyatvam vishate tadanantaram. That by devotional service I can be known as I am, and if one is enriched with devotional service, one can enter the Supreme Kingdom of God. In other words, only a devotee is allowed to enter. So, the two doormen who were seeing the four Kumaras who wanted to enter did not really understand that since they were highly elevated devotees, they could come to the gates of Vaikuntha. And a highly elevated devotee cannot be checked in seeing this Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why did they block their way? The four Kumaras thought the only possible explanation is that they themselves are non-devotees, because otherwise they would have understood that they could not possibly block their way to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because yeah, only devotees come to Vaikuntha and see the Lord. So they were highly disturbed by this. I want to read also the next verse, because it is giving a nice explanation. Na shantaram bhagavati yasamasta kukshavan Atmanam atmani nabo nabasi vadira Pashyanti yatra yuvayo suralingino kim Vyut paritam chuda rabedi bayam yatosya. Translation. In the Vaikuntha world there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and the small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can the disharmony come into existence? Just as there are different departments in each state in this material world, the civil department and the criminal department, so in God's creation there are two departments of existence. As in the material world, we find that the criminal department is far, far smaller than the civil department. So this material world, which is considered the criminal department, is one-fourth of the entire creation of the Lord. All living entities who are residents of the material universes are considered to be more or less criminals because they do not wish to abide by the order of the Lord, or they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful, and he becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities, like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is entrapped by Maya or illusion. Krishna jiva se bhuli anharir bahi mukha is described. Bahir mukha. Mukha means face and bahir means external. The living entity turns his face away from the Lord and looks at the material energy, that means at sense gratification. He is trapped into this material world by the circle of birth and death. So someone who doesn't want to abide by the order of the Lord, like all of us unfortunately did, we immediately coming towards the material energy. It's just like if you don't look into the clear light and turn away your head, you will look into your shadow. The external energy of the Lord is called the material world. And the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. Everything there is absolute. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach, and just as in a machine there are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine, in the Vaikuntha planets the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engage in the service of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, interpret this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the small sky and the big sky are one, but this idea cannot stand. The example of the big sky and the small skies is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself and the intestines, and the other parts of the body occupy the small sky. Each and every part of the body has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. Similarly, the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we created beings or anything that is created are but a small part of that body. The parts of the body are never equal to the whole. This is never possible. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that the living entities who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are eternally parts and parcels. According to the Mayavadi philosophy, the living entities in illusion considers himself part and parcel, although he is actually one and the same as the Supreme Whole. This theory is not valid. The oneness of the whole and the part is in their quality. The qualitative oneness of the small and large portions of the sky does not imply that the small sky becomes the big sky. There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There's no fear because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents. This is a very nice point. When there's a united interest, one can actually be one. For instance, in this temple, it is such a nice temple, a small temple, we all have the interest to spread Krishna consciousness. Devotees and bhakta alike are, so to say, one family. There's no source of fear from anyone because no one has a separate interest. However, say we would have a devotee here who would like that we all fall into Maya, and he would make different arrangements for that. he would, I don't know what he could do, you know, but let us say he would arrange that our next temple is an enormously big villa which costs 10,000 marks to rent in a month. That he would have this interest and he would arrange it like this. Then there would be cause of fear. Then we would all have to work like magats, like asses, you know, to get this amount of Lakshmi together. I mean, it's not the best example, but I think the point is clear. When there's one interest, there's no source of fear. So in the Vaikuntha planets, they are called Vaikuntha because there's only the interest of the Lord. The Lord has his desires and the living entities are having the same desire, that means to fulfill the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya means disharmony between the living entities and the Supreme Lord, and Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because He is a supreme living entity. But foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, defy His existence. And that state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. They say, everything is void. Sometimes they deny Him in a different way. There may be a God, but He has no form. Both these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. Harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. This is religion. When one is fully conscious that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and supreme Lord, and one acts accordingly, that is real religion. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all other religious principles. In the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore that world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principles can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as a center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not the material world. Again, this is a very nice verse. A living entity can act in harmony with the Supreme Lord if he considers himself the servant of Krishna's desires. Krishna has desires. He is not a cosmic mercy machine to whom you pray in order to get your desires fulfilled. Or like there are some factories where you, after you have worked, the loan carte. You know, the kind of sheet of paper which you put into a machine and make stamp, and this shows that you have worked for the day because you have this stamp of the day on this piece of paper. No, it's not that we should misuse the Supreme Lord like that, that we just go and get our, our material desires fulfilled in Krishna consciousness. No, he has desires. And a proper devotee is engaged in serving these desires. In Bhakti Yoga, we want to find out what are the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we want to satisfy him. That is our natural position. This is one point. Another point is that the obstructing principle or the stumbling block to this life of fulfilling and serving the desires of the Lord is ahankara, the false ego. Ahang means means I, and kara means to do. Also karta means the one who acts, as coming from the same root, to do, kara. So ahankara means I am the doer. I take full credit for my activities. I am the maintainer of this of my own life. I am working to get a nice apartment. I am going to go to the holidays on the coast. All these are different manifestations of the ahankara principle, the false ego. You are not the maintainer. You are maintained. If there wouldn't be any air which maintains us, what could you do? If there wouldn't be any food, what could you do? We are so dependent on our surroundings. If we don't go for a couple of days to the toilet, we die from poisoning, internal poisoning. We are always dependent on our surroundings. For instance, you don't expect someone who lives in the forest to all of a sudden have a palace as his temple, as his house, Because, he's dependent, in a forest there is no construction office, or there is no electricity, and there is no nice cloth and jewels and so on and so forth, which are necessary for a palace. The living entity is always dependent for anything on his surroundings. But due to false ego, he thinks himself the doer, the independent source of his life. This is completely Maya. Once the communists in Russia tried to convince some simple religionists, some Christians, about the absurdity of praying to God as one's maintainer. When they came out of the church, these Christians, the communists asked them, "So, have you attained your daily bread?" You know, in the church you pray, "Oh God, give us our daily bread, please." As if God would have a cosmic bakery, you know, where you, the cosmic baker. So they came out of the church in the communist. "So, where is your daily bread?" Does anyone come here out of the church with arms full of bread? And the simple Christian said, no, we have not yet gotten our bread. So then the leader of the communist big party waved in the back, and a truck full of different breads came, and he distributed it to the people. And he asked, so who has given you your daily bread? God or the communists? How is God your supplier? How is God your maintainer? It is the communistic party. I'm the doer. But these simple Christians, they were actually little mudalas. Why didn't they ask the communists, who has given you the grain? Have you produced the grain in your factory? Or did it come from the earth, the sunshine and the water, which is supplied by God? So they would have asked the communists like this. I think communists would be defeated. It's a fact for our livelihood. We cannot depend on man-made endeavors. So, I'm the doer. I'm independent. This is what consists the essence of false ego. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find a few very nice definitions of this false ego, and I think it is good to hear this. It comes in the 59th verse of the Gita, Yad Aham, of the 18th chapter. Yad Ahamkara Ashritya Nayotsya Iti Manyase Mityaisha Yavasayaste Prakritistvam Niyokshati. This means, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. So, it is described here. If out of false, if you take shelter in the false ego, and you do not act as in, according to Krishna's direction, by your nature, you will have to be engaged anyways in warfare. So the similar thing holds true in our own lives. If we do not want to act according to the directions of Krishna, but follow our own mind and our own false ego, our hankara and the doer, then we will anyways have to work. If someone thinks, oh, Krishna consciousness is too difficult, I have to rise so early, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock is not really acceptable, and it's so much work, nothing is mine, I have to share my apartment with so many other ishtoks and other people whom I may not like 100%. it's a principle, isn't it? So then not always food, just 3 times a day, and no fun in the cinema. Everyone will look at me. I can't even hear the newest Pink Floyd record over my loudspeakers in my apartment. It's so much. I don't like this. Out of false ego, I want to go and leave the association of the devotee. There will be misery also there. Material life is not meant for enjoyment. It is meant for work. Better is we work for Krishna than we work for Maya. There's a nice story in this connection of a Brahmana who felt very hungry and went into the house of a Muslim. See, in classical Indian society, you were not supposed to go into the house of the Muslim and eat there because the Muslims were mlechas, meat eaters. And if a Brahmana was seen doing that, he was violently ostracized. That means repulsed from his society. Which he left, rejected. This is not an easy thing. I mean, imagine you would come to Ljubljana and all the Ljubljanian people would say, you are nonsense, we don't want to see you in Ljubljana, you are such a disturbance for the eyesight. You just go, you are beyond all. You know, all your friends would say, I don't want to associate with you any longer. The devotees would say, in our case, the devotees would say, oh, so and so, you have acted in a way which is completely beyond the impossible. You will be not allowed to enter the temple anymore. This would be extremely heavy. So the brahmana felt this intense hunger. And you know, when you feel intensely hungry, you become desperate. You don't care any longer. You just want to eat, that's all. So this was the situation. And in this state of mind, he entered the house of the Muslim. So the Muslim, then after some time, he came out of the house crying. Oh, why are you crying? I have lost my caste and still I'm hungry. There was not enough food there. So this is a situation when you leave, when you don't act according to Krishna's direction. You lose your status as a free inhabitant of the spiritual world. And still you are hungry. It is not that in Maya you will find any satisfaction. You have to act according to Krishna. All those, and sometimes this is not happening in Yugoslavia very often, but sometimes it is an unfortunate case that devotees leave the association of Vaishnavas because for some reason they feel it is very difficult to do this sadhana and go out into the material world, but there is no satisfaction. You can only cry, oh, I lost my status as a devotee and still I'm hungry. this is a situation. There is no satisfaction in this material world. Krishna is explaining in the next verse, which means 1860, Svabhava yena kuntaya nibhatha svinakaramana kartum nityasiyan mohat karishyas yavashopitat. Under illusion you are now declining to act according to my directions, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. There was once a case, I think I told this once on the farm, of a devotee who left the association of devotees because he had to rise so early. So Prabhupada, he met this devotee a little later and said, oh, you have left us, why? He said, oh, I'm a late to bed, late rise person. I'm not an early to bed, early rise man. So, in the discussion after some time, Prabhupada asked, then where are you now sleeping? Oh, I'm sleeping in the central station of train station of Tokyo. Is this a nice place to sleep? No, it is not so nice. Every morning at 4 o'clock, the the station police comes and drives all those who sleep there out from their benches into the cold of the Tokyo morning. So you could see, he had not really gotten anything better. He still was forced to rise early. So this is what Krishna said. Out of illusion you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same. We will have to act in this world. We will have to endeavor. See, this world is called the Kama Sthan. No fruits are growing into your mouth on their own accord. it is simply not there. Sometimes the karmis, they make a false, they make a hopeful story of what they call the land of all desires. In German language it's called the Schlaraffenland. That's a place where the rivers are made from milk and honey, and mountains are made from cake with Schlagom. In this way the karmis think there's unlimited enjoyment there. But they have this idealistic conception, because here they have to work for everything. You have to work for your food, you have to work for a place of sleep, you have to work for sex life, you have to work for... Nothing comes of its... You have to endeavor, and then there is something which you get. This is the principle of this world. You move, and only then you come to a place. You put on your record, and only then music comes. Everything which you obtain in this world has to be endeavored for, otherwise it is not coming. So Krishna makes this point, you are compelled by your nature. Sure, everyone has a certain nature to work. So if someone is intelligent, he understands then that I can also work in devotional service according to my nature. But see, ahankara, this is stopping us to do this. Prakriti kriyamana ini gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kataham iti manyatema. You think yourself kataham, I am the doer. This is just a concept. Everything is done by your karma, by your previously performed activities. And you are only reaping the results of your activity, actions. In Munich there is a film studio, the Bavarian film studios. Everyone who ever worked with films knows about these studios. And they produced one film there recently after a book by Michael Ende. It's called The Unending Story, It's about a boy who reads every day in a book about some fantastic land with some fantastic people, and all of a sudden he enters into this fantasy land, and he has many different realizations, they have many experiences, and one is that he meets one monster who is actually good-hearted, and this monster eats stones. He's a stone cracker. That's his name, the stone cracker. We are eating Bimalab's pizza, and he eats stones. Now, for the Bavaria studio to produce this, they had to make a huge apparatus, the stone cracker, and they used to have to manipulate with 20 technicians every one of his movements so that they looked lifelike. You follow that? For a simple movement like this, it's actually, if you want to reproduce it with a machine, it is not so easy. It is, the movements are, it's extremely flowing. But it's not so easy to do this. And if, for instance, to eat, there are about, I'm not so educated in this, how many muscles? Some muscles, maybe 10 muscles, are there
more?
More than 10 muscles are in action to get this movement together. There are many different actions for doing this. So to reproduce like a smile or a chew, this is a highly sophisticated activity where many different technicians have to be involved. So, for the stone cracker, for this imaginary person, in order to behave naturally, you know, blink his eyes at the proper moment, smile, you know, and you know, for his ears to go like, and so on. It was a very, very difficult operation. It required a highly sophisticated computer. However, it looks so lifelike when you see it on the screen. You think it's a real stone cracker. It's like me. So, our own bodies are, in a similar way, complicated machines which are not completely under our control. Every movement, like Dhananjaya Prabhu was scratching his leg. This is a complicated action which involves many different factors in order to work. So this, our body, is fully under control of material nature. It's not that we have the body under our control. It only seems like I'm feeling a toothache is developing, and I again have to go to this tarot chamber called the dentist. It's a room. It is not under my control. Different ailments, different, you know, the voice is somehow cracked up this morning. I don't know why. Not under my control. Tomorrow I may be sick. Today I may be extremely tired. You sometimes might have seen this in your own life. You are completely controlled like the stone cracker. We are all controlled by the laws of material nature. But in our illusion we think, oh, I am moving, it's me. Imagine, this is as foolish as if the stone cracker would have the illusion, I am working. It's a Bavarian film studio which is doing all the activity. We are helpless on these machines of material energy. So, when the living entity, however, uses his minute independence to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then actually he is free. He is a free servant. I mean, he's never the master, but he is, as a servant, free. Because Krishna says that the devotional service is not an activity under the laws of material nature. To do devotional service means to go against the stream of the materialistic control. It is, if the stone cracker, you know, says, I'm foolish technicians, and now I'm doing my own activity. And he's marching out of the studio and eats Bimala's prasad. So, instead of stone. This is what is Krishna conscious activities. We march out of the control of material energy. Because, see, to do service for Krishna, to eat only prasadam, that's not within the realm of Maharas, that's not under the jurisdiction, is the word in English, under the jurisdiction of the material energy. It is a liberated activity. So, in Krishna consciousness, we are actually determined to somehow struggle our way through to this liberated activity. The material energy sometimes will have still will try to strengthen her grip on us. We sometimes feel this when we want to do devotional service. Material energy sometimes puts us in her grips and doesn't allow us to come out of Maya's control. But we have to be determined. And it is possible by Krishna's grace. We can pray for Krishna's help. And when we have Krishna's help, we can be victorious over the material energy. We can be heroes. Govinda Prabhu and Nidhi were discussing about this point. We can be heroes every day if we are having Krishna's help and overcome the bounds and limitations of the material energy. And it's such a nice life. So wonderful. We should pray to Krishna that he helps us in our different activities. We should watch our lives, especially in a small center. The results of this, of our preaching center, will be determined by how much the inhabitants are getting free from the influence of material energy by engaging in strict devotional service. Now, at the very foundation of devotional service, there is Shravanam and Kirtanam. That means chanting the names of the personality of Godhead and hearing also about Krishna Katha. Hearing his names, of course, and hearing Krishna Katha. This will give us the required spiritual strength. In the old times, they used to have divers who worked under the water in under some river in the Donau. They had these divers who had these huge helmets, and at the bottom of their shoes they had this lead. Do you know these kind of divers? And they would sometimes clean the bodies of ships from underneath, or they would repair something. You know, make some screw or you know, work many different things. When they made harbors, they used to work underneath. So, because they had this connection of with the hose, it's called in English, they had this connection to the free sky, they were actually able to work underneath the water, although this was an unnatural element for them. That the human organism doesn't work underneath the water. Only when connected with air it can work. So in a similar way, we in this material world are working under beneath the water, so to say. This is not the free spiritual sky here. It is Maya's kingdom. And we must be very aware that always our connection is always there. Maya will always try to break into our connection. There is where she will attack us. She will break into our chanting, Maya will break into our Shravanam and Kirtanam, because she knows this is our vulnerable point. It's just like if this diver is there, you know, and someone doesn't like the diver, he would immediately, you know, somehow bind the hose so that he cannot get any air, and it needs to struggle underneath the water. So this is what Maya tries to do. She tries to rip our connection to Krishna. At least, Ishtar was yesterday telling me that his difficulty at the school, the scholar, is that he cannot concentrate so much on Krishna. But we were discussing yesterday, if the morning program is good, then one doesn't feel this, because one has a connection. But if it is not good, then the scholar, you know, will act like tightening our hose so that we don't have this connection of Krishna to Krishna. Then we are bewildered and confused, and we are Maya, and all kinds of material desires come up, and so on and so forth. so to be able to act on the platform of freedom, free from ahankara, this wrong conception, that we have to work to establish our solid connection to the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. This is Krishna's next point he makes. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or
Arjuna. And there's also, on the aspect of Veda, because I know that the devotees, or even non-devotees, they will use this as an excuse not to surrender to Krishna.
Really?
When they say, "Oh, I'm not the doer anyway." But I know, I heard that, who was the Baladeva, right there, Bhushana?
Yeah.
Swami, he had a nice purport of that saying that, that if we are not the doer, then who is the doer?
Yeah.
The material energy.
This is a very complicated subject. To make it, you are the doer in one aspect. And that doer means you can desire to come to Krishna. It's very interesting. Our minute independence is manifested in desire. If you desire to surrender to Krishna, then you will go this way. If you desire not to surrender to Krishna, you will get the other way. Now, from that point of your decision, more or less, well, everything is taken care of. If you desire to go to Maya side, then everything is going in Maya's direction, what you do. Maya comes flying to you, so to say. Like we all know, when you want to be in Maya, I mean, the most amazing things happen. Like, I think, whenever you tell me of your life story, you're such a nice example for this. When you desire to be in Maya, all things came, isn't it? All Maya things came to you. You were faced with facts. When you desired to come to Krishna, then you met the devotees, someone gave you a brahmachari dhoti. And this way you escaped your private Maya Devi. And so on.
But I remember Avinashandra, he gave a lecture one time, he gave that point, what is the difference between a liberated soul and a not liberated soul, that is not eternally liberated. That he said the word eternally is not really meant in that sense eternal, because as soon as one surrenders to Krishna, then he is again eternally liberated. But as soon as one surrenders to Maya, then again he is eternally conditioned. So,
yeah.
So
it is a very complicated subject matter. I mean, it is not so easy. It is so complicated because there are different factors involved. But it is clearly mentioned by Srila Prabhupada that at the root, so to say, of our, the root how we go in our lives is a factor of desire. Baladev Vidyabhushana's point, which you were saying, is the soul is kata, is a doer. Because otherwise, what would be the meaning of the Vedic instructions if you wouldn't have any possibility to follow you? Like if I tell you, Gopinath, please play Bhaja Hare Mana. What would be the meaning of saying, please play Bhaja Hare Mana, if you couldn't decide? You know, if it would come on its own accord, whatever you play. This is a little practical. So, in that sense, the soul is a doer, because it has some limited amount of choice. But this choice in the material world is so limited that we can't speak of the soul as being the doer. It's just like if you go to a dead end to a street, a T street. We call T. I don't know how to. Do you understand what I mean? You have the choice to go left or you can go right. You can't go straight, you can't fly, you can't make a looping in the air. You can have only these two choices. So in the material world, certainly the soul has choices. But these choices are so limited that from the absolute platform of absolute spiritual freedom, we say the soul is bound. He's not the doer. But this little amount of choice is there. So therefore, when we as Vaishnavas, in our Vaishnavas philosophy, speak of this difficult question, who is acting, material nature or the living entity, we say it's a question of desire. If I desire, then I can, when I come, so to say now in the example, if I desire to serve Krishna, I do not have only these two choices, you know, go this way in Maya or go that way in Maya. I desire something else. I go into a different realm. I go to the realm of freedom. And there I am, let me say, there I am under Krishna's control. If I, however, desire to go to Maya, then I'm completely under Maya's control. And you must agree. What is the difference between smoking, choosing to smoke Habe, you know, this is a German cigarette brand, or Marlboro? This isn't really freedom. So the freedom of the soul is exercised in the material world in such a limited way that we cannot speak of freedom. It's like the freedom of the prisoner. It's exercised only in such a limited way that it's not really freedom. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita says that only under illusion the soul thinks himself to be the doer. In actuality, he's compelled to act. So, but you can take the, philosophically it is accurate to say, well, the soul has is the doer because he has the possibility to choose between two things. In a more absolute picture, however, this is not to be considered freedom. This is how it is simultaneously, he's a doer to non-doer.
But he has if he has his first choice, then it's very difficult. Like, I noticed that once the soul makes his choice, then it's a long time before he gets a second chance to choose, oh, I want something else, because by the time he makes that choice, then Maya just...
Yeah, he's already in Maya. Over. Yeah, yeah, Maya takes over, yeah, yeah. The second choice. Real freedom, and I think this is, we must be very practical and not get lost in a philosophical detail. Real freedom is to surrender to Krishna. Do you agree? Because then we go into the realm of unlimited freedom. But also there, this has to be said, we are completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. So our freedom is with Krishna or with Maya. It's always with someone. It's a very nice point you have made, you have brought out. Well, I could say many things about it, but it will always come down to this one point. Surrender to Krishna and exercise your maximum amount of freedom.
Krishna takes over the life in that sense also.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you are always dependent either on Krishna or on Maya. Like now, our life is in Krishna's hand. And what will happen today in Ljubljana on the street is completely in Krishna's hand. Maybe the Serbians will slaughter us. Just joking, it's not so bad. Good. Any other? Go to center.
I understand. Understood. Another point to this lecture: the difference between Vijnana Maya and Ananda Maya.
Vijnana Maya and I get Ananda Maya. Vijnana means to understand that you are spiritual, and Ananda Maya means to understand that you are not only a spiritual soul, humble masmi, but that you are a servant of Krishna, a spiritual servant of Krishna. Only when you understand this, there is Ananda, full bliss. Just to understand you are spiritual and not material is not full of bliss. Yeah. Our bhakta, our bhaktis, everything is clear. I would really like to see, before I forgot, I would really like to see what you are painting, some examples, because as I said yesterday, we are having these two magazines, Veda, that's a Yugoslavian magazine, and also Govinda, that's a magazine for the German-speaking countries, and we always need illustrations, so please show it before I forget. Good, then I think everything is crystal clear. When do we go on Harinam? 11 o'clock, I think. That means we have to leave here. 10 to 11, 10:30 maybe.
We need dinner.
Oh no, 10 to 11. Actually, I know, I understand it. Sorry, I understood. Between 10 and 11. Yeah. Okay, yeah. 10 to 11. Yes, good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.